WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed, ahoy, hoy. Welcome back to me. I'm here this week. I am Dan. I'm one of your hosts for this 583rd, that's right, episode of BRB UK. Welcome, one and all. Good evening. If you are joining us, dare I say it, live. Live. Mm. It's alive!
Kind of.
Ish. We're testing things out.
We're in a closed beta phase where we've put a link on the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for any of our listeners on Discord that want to watch the show live, but we're hoping to do that publicly in future. We're just finding out the kinks.
Yeah, just testing
indeed,
out.
Indeed. Talking of kinks, Tim, hello.
Yep.
How are you doing?
Yep. I'm
still
right.
Putting things up, still putting things in places?
I mean, sometimes.
Good! Excellent! Excellent. Glad to see you sitting down this evening. And there's Coleman. Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Not bad, not bad. Excited to see how this goes.
a very on-brand headset this evening, I'll just say. It's looking beautifully red.
Big and red.
Yeah, I've been using this for a while. I just changed the ear cups out.
Ooh, you fancy lad. You're interchangeable ear cups. I believe I can change me. My soft squidgy bits.
Yeah, I can do. You should see a doctor about that, Dan.
I mean, I've got many soft squidgy bits I wish I could change, but that's really completely off topic for this evening and all to do with dreadful middle life issues. That's all I'm going to say.
The recording headphones are great, but they came with like this faux leather, you know, spongy bit. And then over time, they just start. I finish recording and then I take them off and I just had these black flakes all over my skin.
Oh, nice. So I got rid of those. Lovely. Okay.
Well, I got rid of those and then I got these ones that are like cooling gel and they're red. So I was like, oh, that's on brand. And then at some point I went, hold on, doesn't seem like the noise cancelling is working as well. So by having the cooling gel ones has kind of eliminated that suction that was there for the noise cancelling, I think.
Oh,
wow. That is a deep dive on. Oh, hello, Cat. And we've also got Pitch Invasion. If you are watching on the video, you might be able to see that Tim's cat winking at you from that end. Yeah.
Uh-huh. On with the show.
On with the show, because we actually done played some stuff this week. And what you've done played, Coleman, I am quite excited to talk about. So would you like to lead with that, I think? Because I think that's probably the most exciting for folks.
So I will say, because you both have Balatro on your on your agenda, which Tim did talk extensively about last week. So
did he?
I reviewed it last week.
Yes.
I will follow that up with, I did talk quite extensively about the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth demo before playing the actual game, and as it is a section of the game, but now I've played the full version, and part of the appeal to go and play the demo before the full game is it allowed you to skip a section of the game, that the demo part, or as advertised, and then it gave some items for doing so as well. So when you start off the game, it kind of has an intro bit, then it gets to the demo bit, and then you carry on. But when it got to the point, it gets to the point that you're in the demo, and I went, okay, so how do I skip this? It's not skipping. Why can't I skip this? Look online. Oh, you have to play till this point. I was like, well, that's not skipping this section, is it? That's playing up to this point of the section that I've just played and doing it again. So you do that, and then you skip the section, and then it comes back to the full game. But there's still a part of it that I'd already played. And I was not really skipping this section, am I? But I'm assuming I got the goodies that I was meant to be playing the demo for. Anyway.
But the main thing is, it hasn't got to you. That's the main thing. At least you're not ranting about it. It's all good.
We'll talk about getting to me in a moment. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, a game that I've been excited for since finishing Final Fantasy VII Remake. And this one expands on greatly from the previous game. We've spoken about this before. Final Fantasy VII Remake isn't necessarily a remake of Final Fantasy VII. They do a bit of a swerve in the game. It's a remake of the timeline. Someone's messing around with it. Forces are trying to put the timeline back together correctly.
Those scamps.
So you'll play through and go, ah, oh, there's things that I don't recognize in this game. They've added stuff to it. Oh, no, it just turns out time's a bit wibbly-wobbly, in the words of Doctor Who.
Right.
And that carries on this way. you start off by seeing a character that doesn't really appear extensively in the original game and appears, well, he's on the front cover. It's Zack.
Right.
So it's kind of spoiled that one anyway.
Okay.
And he's with Cloud. So you sort of go, oh, what's going on here? And that stuff does appear in the previous game very briefly, end credit kind of cutscene stuff. And if you completed the Integrate DLC. So that's to sort of go, oh, something's awry here. And then we go back to the regular story again. And then we go to the demo stuff and then we carry on. But this is meant to be the section of the game as you've left Midgar, you've done the big freeway fight, and now you're out into the big open world. And the big open world is exactly that. It's an open world game!
I have a question.
Yes, yeah. Dan.
Segways?
There are segways
in
sections.
Why are there segways in my Final Fantasy VII?
It's big.
This is not what. No, I don't care. We had an airship before. That is perfectly in universe.
I am fine with that.
Why have we got segways? Why?
Surely the chocobos.
We're putting chocobos out of work. That's not right, is it? No.
That is specifically for the beach section. It's you're not riding around the entire world on segways.
I think you'll find chocobos are all terrain things. Thank you very much.
I need to look into this because
chocobos unite.
The most recent Like a Dragon game as well.
Right.
Japan just really like segways. They're not big here because they're not road legal.
No.
So
have you ever been on a Segway?
I've never been on one. I've only ever seen one in real life.
I've raced on one.
It's a strangely disquieting experience, I would say.
I went to someone's stag do and they had Segway racing. So yeah, I've raced other people on a Segway. Yeah.
I've only ever seen one in real life, which was at the Excel Center when I was waiting for Tim to come back from the toilet, and then Warwick Davis went past on one.
He's allowed to be fair.
He's allowed to. He technically doesn't ride a Segway. He rides an Eggway because they had to hacksaw the bar off of it. So he's chopped the S off.
Okay.
That's a true story.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, let's get back to the game proper. This is an open world game which has annoyed a few people who may get a bit of open world fatigue, as Tim likes to call it.
Right.
Because this is a proper open world game. You get to the they call it the grasslands. Uh-huh. And once you get to a section of the game where you re-meet Chadley, who's the guy I really hate from the previous game.
Chadley?
He's the android boy that Hojo built that you have to develop materia and do the summon fights and stuff with. But he's out in the real world now. And then once you meet up with him, he goes, oh, if you activate this tower out in the open world, here's a bunch of icons that are littered across the map. Why don't you go to them and do quests and side quests and stuff?
Get old now, Ubisoft formula.
Now, Ubisoft, Horizon Zero Dawn, yeah. Far Cry, Assassin's
anything
Creed.
Anything open world, basically.
Anything open world these days. It doesn't bother me. I like a lot of open world games, and this is one. However, this isn't there is a lot to this game, and it's not one that I'm necessarily going to be blasting through straight away. I'm going to be coming back to it, getting a lot of longevity out of this game. Now, yeah, so that's putting a few people off the open world aspect of it and that it kind of drags everything out. And another thing that people seem to be annoyed with is the mini games. There's a lot of mini games in this game. Again, doesn't really bother me because they're well-made mini games. There's chocobo racing. And there's a lot of stuff that's in the previous game as well.
They've got stuff to do there, and they've been put out of work, but thanks to the segues after all. May as well do that.
There's going to be a bunch of gambling type mini games and things that you would have seen in the original Final Fantasy VII game, thanks to the Gold Saucer. There's the piano mini game that I spoke about in when we were talking about the demo last time. But also there is, as they like to do since like Final Fantasy VIII onwards, there's a card game.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that.
That's one that people seem really annoyed with. Well, sorry, again, it's not everyone's annoyed with. I really like it. A lot of people really like it. Some people don't like it. It's called Royal Blood, I think. And I like it because it's not as complex as, say, the... what was the one in Final Fantasy VIII? King's...
Oh, God.
Something rather.
That's the one that everyone goes on about being really good as well, no? What was it called?
Yeah, that's the one I hate. Anyway, it's not as complex as that.
King's... No.
I don't know. It's not as complex as that, and it's not as annoying as in Integrate. They made like this kind of tabletop tower defense type game, which I really a strategy game, which I really didn't
Triple
like.
Triple Triad.
Yes, that's it.
So this time it's a card game, and you go around and you play people against this game, and you get cards for beating them, but you don't lose cards for losing, like in 8. And it's like a fun little distraction that you can do. You can leave if you want, but there are benefits to playing. So I really enjoy that. As previously mentioned in the last game, voice acting seems a lot better this time. NPC voice acting really annoyed me. Okay. But the main characters I was very on board with. Character designs are all updated and looking gorgeous. Cutscenes are amazing. Mm-hmm. The biggest gripe I have about this game is so you can play this in your 4K mode, which I tried and did smoothening settings on the TV and stuff to kind of...
Did what settings?
Smoothening.
Okay, so that's something that I try to do, but it really didn't help with the dip of the frame rate, and it's meant to be a 30 frames a second. It doesn't seem 30 frames. It seems a lot shonkier than that. But then you put it in performance mode, and it makes the world very blurry, which Tim mentioned last time, but the reviews aren't talking about this. Well, the Digital Foundry breakdown really did talk about this.
Okay. Yeah,
and a lot of people have spoken about this since the full game has come out. It's now been commented on that they are going to patch the graphics in performance mode in some way. We don't know how, but it seems like it's not your typical kind of your performance mode upscaling thing that they usually do, where they do the checkerboard thing. It's
right.
more like an image and then a diagonal image that makes this kind of blurry looking thing going on. And it's very odd because, once again, this is the only platform you can buy this game on is the PlayStation 5. We don't have a beefier PlayStation 5. You can't play it on PC. So this is them going, right, this is the best way to play this game. Blurry.
I saw someone moaning online that the game wasn't
That
the game wasn't available for Switch. And I'm like,
oh, God.
That game would run like arse on Switch. You do not want that game on Switch. What are you talking about?
Didn't they? I mean, they made 15 on mobile, and then I think that got ported to Switch. But it was done in the kind of shibby, blocky original style, which I quite like. when I say original, I mean 7. And I think they might have done a version of 7 for Switch or a rebirth for Switch. I'm not sure. But the
I
same
thought it was
kind
still exclusive because they were talking about it being exclusive to PS5.
Might have been a mobile thing thinking about it. I know there was meant to be a mobile project of like all the story of all the games kind of merged into one. So your Crisis Core and everything. But I can't remember where we were with that. There were a lot of Final Fantasy 7 projects that were announced at one point, and some are either cancelled or just shut. Like First Soldier, that mobile battle royale game that lasted a few months, and then they just closed it down.
Do you know what I miss? Do you know what I miss? Yeah. I miss the good old days of Final Fantasy 1-6, where you knew what you were getting. It was just the game. It was everything in the game. Now there's like rebirths, like tactics, all kinds of mad crap going on, and spin-off games. 13 and 13-1. I still don't understand it. Why?
It took a while to get to this point. Oh. 7 wasn't like this. It wasn't until the PSP, and then they went, by the way, is a spin-off to Final Fantasy 7, which you've all been asking
about. Curse you, capitalism.
And it turned out it was really good, and I didn't play it until like a couple of years ago when they did the re-release, but hey.
I have a bigger problem with the word rebirth. It just sounds wrong.
Right.
I don't like that word.
The first one, the world is relayed,
like it's called
and
afterbirth.
The second one...
Yeah, but
the
that's
first,
what it sounds
the first
like.
One, The first one, the timeline is remade. The second one, the timeline is reborn. So the next one will be Revengeance, I'm sure. But anyway, what I wanted to say is, even though I was kind of off put by the performance mode in the demo, this time I've kind of gotten used to it. Although I'm not too keen about it, I have you do forget about it after a little while, and some sections are better than others. But it's not in that kind of. It's not in that level that the last Star Wars game was, where it was making me feel motion sick, even though I was playing it in performance mode, because it was just so juttery and weird and blurry and stuff. It's a lot more manageable than that. But I'm looking forward to them actually patching it and seeing how that's improved. So
we'll
see.
Okay.
But yes, it is a recommend for me, but you know, that's whether you want to spend $69.99 on a digital copy. Although if you shop around, you can find, I mean, I paid 50 for the disc version, and I refuse to pay £70 for game season now. I've completely gone the other way and gone, right, I'm just physically getting all my physical games now, unless I can find a good deal on credit, because
Quick question. So this is eventually coming to PC, right?
Most likely.
Well, the talk this week, there was an interview with the developer of the game.
Right.
They spoke about it being the first two games, and they had to come back and specify that because they originally said the first three, but they came back and specified that the first two games will be a platform exclusive for PlayStation. Now, whether that means that there might be some scope, for being on the PC, they've been a bit coy with specifying at the moment, basically. But it's not, I don't believe it has been confirmed that it's coming to PC at any time in the future. But I would think it's quite likely that it will, given that PlayStation tend to do that. But I think there'll be a bit of a gap because they've only just bought Ghost of Tsushima to
bless you.
But what you're talking about are internal first party PlayStation games. This is Square Enix.
Yes, but it's one that paid for the development. Well, paid partly towards the development of.
But they did that with Final Fantasy VII remake, and it came to PC quite quickly.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that was where
my brain was going.
Yeah.
You know, if it sounds like PS5 is struggling to run this, and you have a PC, you know, might it be worth waiting a bit? Perhaps, you know, worst case scenario, you've waited a bit and can pick it up for a better price on PS5.
Yeah.
Whenever someone says platform exclusive and they're talking about console, they mean consoles.
Yes,
usually doesn't include PC in that. But it's you will see this on PC pretty soonish, I reckon. But I know Xbox rumors have been going for the longest time on Rebirth. It seems every year they go, remake. We're finally getting remake.
No, I think
even as last year they were talking about this, and maybe one day, but not yet,
not anytime soon. I think one thing that might accelerate the need for that is apparently sales of Rebirth were down 60% compared to the first one. So that might accelerate the need to go on PlayStation. I think there's a slight diminishing return there of a lot of people probably in a similar position to me of, you know, they like the first game, but they never finished it. So they're not going to pick up the second one until they finish the first one.
Also you have the adoption rate of a console couple of years towards the end of its life compared to one that, even though, by all kind of financial reportings, it's halfway through its year now, its life now, but it's still not there.
It's me!
It's still an expensive piece of kit. It's still one that people have struggled to get a hold of for the longest time. It may have gone to other platforms while they were waiting to get a hold of one of these. Yeah, they're not, the adoption rate of the PS5 is not as high as the PS4 at the moment, so you've got that to take into account.
Wasn't the last game on PS5? Am I misremembering that? Was it?
They ported it to PS5.
Yeah.
Okay, it was on both. Okay.
Yeah. They ported it to PS5 like a year after the integrated thing. But then also you've got fans that wanted a straight remake of 7, didn't get a straight remake of 7, they got a sequel of sorts. And they kind of got the wall pulled over their eyes about it as well. So there might be some animosity there. I remember people were put off when there wasn't the turn-based fighting and it was the action fighting instead originally.
Yeah.
Like there's lots of reasons why people may have picked up the first game and gone, no, when it came to the second one. And it can very well be, it's a long game. Might just not have finished it.
Okay. I have a question, Mr. Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got to the gold saucer yet? I'm guessing not.
No, I have not got to the gold saucer.
I wonder how long it takes to get to the gold saucer.
Well, me and Kev were talking about this on Discord.
Yes,
earlier in
the
week.
That conversation.
I think because I said 8 hours, I was actually like nine and a half hours, something like that, into the game, and we haven't left the original open world section to move on. And I'm getting closer, I think, but there's some specific things I want to do before I leave. But yeah, I'm not in a rush to beat this game. I want to enjoy it. I want to absorb
everything. Well, that's a good thing.
It's open world and there's a grindy nature to it as well. Yeah. And also a new game just dropped on my doorstep this morning. So
couldn't see that because
I got... Ooh! Hello!
to play that for next week. So
whenever I see that cover art, it looks like Trump for a second.
Wash your dirty mouth out.
That's Cody Rhodes, also known as Homelander from The Boys.
Right, okay.
Yeah, dude, he's got about 15 too few chins for that to be Trump, to be yeah. fair.
Well, yeah, that's heavily airbrushed Trump, but, you know.
That's the son of Dusty Rhodes and the brother of yes, Gold Dust.
I'm aware of this.
All right, let's move on, because that was a lot of Final Fantasy talk for not a lot of information.
So, I've been playing with a Roman jester, is what I've been doing. That's who Balatro was. He was he was a professional fool back in the times of Rome.
I pointed that out last week as well. Well, it did, I'll have a go. Roman, but so, just generally a fool.
He's just a fool. I mean, he's a fool. He is a fool. Man, I have been. I mean, good shout on bigging this up last week. But man, this is a corking little game, isn't it, Tim?
Yes, it is fantastic.
Corking little game.
Yes,
even though it has had some controversy because it didn't get temporarily delisted. From the Switch,
The UK and Australia, and then possibly some other European countries because of gambling laws.
Well, that's the thing I kind of wanted to touch on. Which, I mean, we're not going to go back into Balatro.
When the fun stops, stop.
Stop. You wouldn't steal it anyway.
You can't gamble responsibly. I don't care what adverts say either, but hey.
You wouldn't be a Roman jester.
That's the thing. I think like you, Tim, I there's something about gambling that I really don't like. I think it's, you know, and the way it's normalized in society is not a good thing. That being said, because good audio mix up. I you know, if I had a free hand, I do have two free hands, but I can't be bothered to change my background. But you know what? I'd be changing my background to.
You wouldn't pet a cat.
You wouldn't.
During a podcast.
Yep.
Cats are crime.
Okay. Well, actually, they are, you know, professional bell ends, I have to say, cats. So, that's not that.
I love this cat, but cats are evil.
Yeah, they are. Well, they're in a lovable way. They're lovably evil.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of think
microphones as well.
I think that. I think Balatro has got kind of unfairly tarred with this brush. I mean, yes, it's a game that is based on poker, and yes, it uses terminology called big blind. It includes small blinds, big blinds, but actually, it is not gambling.
Co-ops poker terminology and some poker mechanics, but it is not a poker game.
It is no, exactly. It is a roguelike based on the rules of poker. But I don't think it actually encourages or glorifies gambling. If anything, it's like, seriously, ultimately, you're going to lose because the blinds get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the only way you can win is by kind of subverting the rules of poker, is what I feel. Tim, back in the room, Tim.
Sorry, I'll just mute him in this part of the show.
Yeah.
While he's playing with his cat.
Yeah. But I mean, what did you think, Tim? I mean, because the reason it got delisted was because people went, poker, gambling. It got like an instant Peggy rating change, I believe, from like all ages or 4+ to 18 and older, which meant it got delisted. I mean, what do you think about it?
I think that's an overreaction from people not understanding what the game is, basically. And look, I did speak about it last week. My review of the game was, it's brilliant, but it comes with a health warning because it will suck your time and productivity away from you. But that's not to say it's because it's inherently got anything to do with gambling. It's just a really good little roguelike game that's really well designed. And so, yeah, it's one of those games, and I don't think I made this point last week, where it's just really, like, easily addictive in terms of, you can just carry on playing it, and then as soon as you die, you're like, well, that was probably my fault anyway, type of thing, and I'll just start again. And you just start again and start playing all over again and going right from the beginning. And it's really easy to just get stuck into the loop of, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but I could just start again. That's all right. That'll be all right. That'll be okay.
I've already sunk more hours than I would care to admit into this game. I haven't quite got to the stage of, you know, getting stuck on the loo because I've sat on it for so long with my Steam Deck playing this game. It's not far off. It really gets its roguelike claws into you. And I think what's because it's deceptive. You think it's simple, but it is actually deceptively complicated.
Yes.
In a way that actually it really drip feeds the mechanics to you in a really good way, and you kind of learn quite naturally. So I've actually found I haven't felt like, because I know a little bit about poker, but I don't know a lot about poker, right. And it kind of feels like it's not punishing me for that. It's kind of helping me learn the game mechanics and then layer on top of all of the mechanics with the jokers and the planet cards. And
the fact
that
it unlocks a lot of those jokers as you go means that it's not quite as complicated to start with, and that unlocks more complicated jokers. One thing that I struggled with, and I speculated that this would probably be an ideal fit for the Steam Deck, because the one problem I had with it on the Switch is the clarity of some of the text, especially like the yellow on white stuff in the small boxes. That was hard for me to pass. Like, I actually had to, when I was starting to play the game to start with, I played it on the big screen because I found it almost impossible to read some of the text. Did specify that might be because I'm overdue a trip to the optician, possibly.
Are you going blind, Tim?
I might be.
Okay.
But yeah, was that not an issue for you on the Steam Deck? Because I imagine a slightly bigger screen, slightly more clarity, it might be less of an issue.
I mean, I think it's a bit of a white text on yellow is not a great accessibility color choice, to be honest with you.
Yes.
But, you know, that being said, I mean, I'm playing on a OLED Steam Deck, so it is super vibrant. I personally haven't noticed it as an issue.
Right, yeah.
I haven't seen what it looks like on an LCD flavor screen, the Steam Deck. So, I mean, because you've got an OG Switch, haven't you?
Yes, exactly, as well. So it's possibly the worst thing to possibly play it on. But it wasn't a massive struggle once I'd learned what some of the cards were communicating to me. But it was more, it still was an issue later on when it was like a new card and I hadn't really experienced it. I was like, I think I get what that's saying, kind of thing. But some of the values, like, I was like, is that $3? Is that $1? I guess I'll find out.
I mean, you can turn like the CRT filter off on it, certainly on the Steam Deck.
Okay, I haven't experimented with that.
So that might help.
Okay, that might help.
But, I mean, I think the thing I found really impressive is just, like, you keep uncovering additional, like, mechanics to optimize. It's like, all right, the order of your jokers matter because you want to have your multiplicative ones all the way to the end. So,
And
the order of the cards that you make your hands with matter as well, because if they're multiplicative, it's just like, oh, there is so many layers to this game.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. It is brilliant. I mean, I can see this turning up on Android or iOS and making
an absolute mint.
It's a corking little game. Corking game.
I'm glad you liked it as well, because I really strongly recommend it. The other thing I thought was really good, and I hate to disappoint people and not talk about menus as much.
But I
generally thought the UI was really good at communicating what's going on in the game.
Apart from the unreadable text, yes.
When the score starts going flaming, when you're getting a really good score.
Ooh, toasty.
It's just really well designed. Like, the whole game is very well designed from the ground up, I thought, basically, which was nice to see.
Yeah. No, it was great. I've had a wonderful little time with it. It seems to be doing absolute gangbusters, and despite being delisted on the Switch in a number of territories, it still managed to sell, I think, what, over 500,000 copies
in 10 days, I think it was.
Which is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
The developers did come out and say that it seems to be it was only Nintendo storefronts that were getting affected.
Mm.
If it was to happen on anything else, it wouldn't happen on the PC for whatever reason. And if you've bought a copy, it won't get taken away from you.
Right. Yeah.
And you can still play it, obviously. They're not blocking people. Yeah. So.
All right. So that's £12. 79, which is a little bit less than Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And worth every single one of those pennies, I would say.
Yeah.
It's all. I would gladly pay 1,000. Yes. Thank you, Alan Rickman. God rest your souls. Thank you.
Should point out, just because we did mention it last week, but to clarify for discussion's sake, I did get a review code of that. So I spoke about it last week in review, but just wanted to make that point. But I'm glad you really liked it as well, because, it proves it's, you know, a worthy purchase. And so, I want to see that game do really well, because it's really good. So,
Well, Tim got a review copy. Dan bought his. Someone needs to gift me one, and then I'm going to talk about how rubbish it is. just balance this out.
I'll give you a copy, Coleman. I don't mind giving them some more money.
Yeah, I'll have a Steam version, please.
Yeah,
play that on the Steam Deck on the toilet. Okay. Apparently,
yes, it is the best way to give yourself third degree piles. It's if you had to give yourself piles, that is the most enjoyable way to do so. Don't give yourself piles.
That's a box quote and a half, Dan.
Don't give yourself piles, though. Piles, not fun. Don't do that.
You wouldn't give yourself piles.
But if you did, if you're a silly person and you did want to do that, Balatro's probably the best way forward. You're welcome for the box quote, publishers. You're welcome.
Right, let's do some news. We're going a bit over on these games this week.
What?
We had an Xbox partner preview.
Oh, God. Oh,
which
yeah.
We were all very excited about because that means new announcements of games possibly. And guys, would you believe they had some games to talk about?
I was really glad I could catch up on that 24 minutes and 37 seconds of sleep, personally. It was... wow, right, that was a tedious set of announcements.
Here's what I propose. I'm going to name the game, do a quick summary, and then you can tell me whether you want to hear more about it. Some kind of Starship.
Would you like to know more?
News bulletin.
Would you like to know more? Like okay, right.
Okay, so first out of the gate, we had Unknown 9 Awakening, which of note because this was shown off last 4 years ago at Gamescom opening night live, and then has been very quiet since. But this has a bunch of tie-in stuff alongside it, like podcasts and comic books and things.
And I was such a jerk 4 years ago, completely forgot about it, found it the other day and went, whatever happened to that game? And then so I was quite
wondered what
curious.
Game that was.
Yeah,
I remember you getting sent a book for something and I wondered.
Well, I have to actually dig it out and read it.
Did you want to talk about Unknown 9 Awakening, guys? Are you excited?
There wasn't much detail on that, though, basically, no?
There wasn't much detail of any of them, Tim, to be fair.
Yes, that's true.
Well, it's coming out summer 2024, PC, Xbox Series, PlayStation 5, and 4.
Yeah.
This is one I think Tim might like, Sleight of Hand. Even though there's no gameplay, this was an announcement trailer, pre-rendered, all that kind of stuff. So this is a third-person stealth game, much in the kind of, sort of in the same vein as Dishonored, but obviously third-person. But the mechanics are all playing card-based mechanics.
Yes, what they did...
Or deck-building mechanics is the way they put it in the description.
Okay, that's good to know. It's actually got deck-building in, because that does give more credence to the fact there's going to be cards. You saw... Everyone's talking about that because you saw cards being used in the game. They didn't make it clear whether that's just something where it's an action game and you have actions to particular, actions accessed through different cards. The one that they showed off was a kind of mist walk, I think. Misstep. That was it, because it was like misstep, but mist step. That was a kind of one where it just shrouded you in a cloud so that you could get past someone without being seen. It definitely piqued my interest, but as you say, they didn't really speak about gameplay. But if they're speaking about being deck building, then there's definitely some like card getting mechanics and that being something that gives access to the thing. I would imagine then that would be some sort of turn-based thing where you're playing cards, in which case a turn-based stealth game is much more interesting to me than an action-based stealth game, unless it's got Sam Fisher in. So that's definitely one that I'll be keeping an eye on going forward. But that's not out till next year, apparently. So
Sam Fisher doing his little spider walk up the wall, and then he's like, oh, the guards see me. Pick a card, any card.
Pick a card, any card.
Put in the deck. I'm not looking.
I'm still not. No, Tim, if this is it, trying to convince me that Paul Daniels was an MI5 agent again, I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. Just no.
He was.
He wasn't.
Seen
no.
The lemon trick.
That's why
trick.
He was killed.
She was a sleeper agent.
Yep.
Russian well, she did get around agent, a bit, I Debbie heard, McGee. But never mind. Anyway, hi. I just hope it doesn't take itself as seriously as it seems to be. I hope it's taking. It started
it
takes
a comedic
its,
edge to it. I think
it did, but I really hope it kind of it leans into the campy film noir stuff a bit more, perhaps, than it was already. So. Yeah, it's got.
I mean,
got
you're
to go
a witch
full in on that.
Trying to track down the coven that has betrayed you, by the looks of it. So that looks cool.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm. One that I'm actually interested in, this is the one that had Coleman written all over it, is The Alters. And and I'm not just talking because it looks a bit like Death Stranding in the gameplay. So this is one where you're a character stranded on a planet and you're on your own in a spaceship that is meant to be housed by several people to run the facility that's on board. And to try and figure your way off this planet, you can clone yourself, but it's not really cloning. It's kind of like the cloning is altering your DNA in such a way that it's a version of
you. I have a question.
Yes.
Is it timey-wimey nonsense again?
No.
Kind of, but no.
What if you made different decisions in your life?
Yeah, it's your DNA if you made different decisions. So
that's not how epigenetics and genetics works. That's not absolute really. Nonsense.
No, but I mean,
there was a time, fiction. Nonsense.
There was a time to argue pseudoscience in video games when it comes to DNA, and I think that was Assassin's Creed 1.
Yeah, that was absolute nonsense as well. Can I just give you a little round of applause? This is going out on Discord, so I'm assuming someone's watching it. I love the fact that the video you're playing in the background is credited to PlayStation. Just want to say that while we're talking about Xbox.
Oops.
that's just chef's kiss. I don't know. I don't quite know why you're living with yourself and a giant hamster wheel in this game. That slightly confuses me.
I think the idea is to send out like versions of yourself to act as kind of sacrificial lemmings in this scenario. They're going out and doing all the hard work, but they're also
I thought it was the other way around. You're the one going outside, I think.
Yeah.
The other people are staying within the different things to do different jobs in the actual.
So they're just the crew, basically.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But it looked kind of Fallout sheltery as well, as like it's got those different rooms and different things going on. That's the bit I don't like.
This kind of smacks to me like all the really boring parts of Midnight Suns, and then the actual gameplay stuff is more like again like Death Stranding, the stuff that I like. So I don't know. We'll see how.
Just
it goes,
as long as when you unlock two other characters for the first time, it just does the Spider-Man meme. I'm going to be happy. Let's face it.
Oh, right, everyone pointing.
Sure.
Everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway,
that's coming
different
to
decisions get different haircuts. Apparently, that's how the universe works in cloning.
So that's coming to PC, Xbox Series X and S, and PlayStation 5, but we don't know when just yet. Any interest in Creatures of Ava, which looks to be kind of sort of Pokemon-y, Powerwell, but without the violence?
Pokemon without the interesting bit, basically.
Wow, harsh. Yeah. So that's a no from Tim. Next!
That's a no from me.
Okay. No one wants to talk about this. Griefville, Survive the Nightmare is a Chucky game made in Roblox. Because
Roblox
is on Xbox now.
Why?
Because Chucky's perfect for kids.
Oh, Jesus. God,
I just don't agree with Roblox. Let alone,
I don't either.
No.
Like anything about it.
Child slave labor plus psycho dolls is not a good mix, in my opinion, but hey.
We've got a sequel to The Sinking City, aptly named The Sinking City 2. There's been like a lengthy legal dispute over the studio, and also I think they're a Ukrainian studio as well, so they've had some issue over the whole war.
Yeah.
But now they're finally getting to release their game. That's coming to PC, Xbox Series X and S, and PlayStation 5 in 2025. Did you guys play any of that at all, the first one?
I must admit I didn't. Watching the trailer of Sinking City 2 did kind of make me want to check it out, actually.
The first one was quite popular with the people that played it. I just don't know many people that played it. But the first one intrigued me, and then I just never got to interact with it anyway. I hope this is one that the first game might come to Game Pass or PlayStation. I imagine probably Game Pass with this one coming out.
Possibly.
I like the studio as well, so I'm interested in what they do. They did the good Sherlock Holmes games and stuff as well. So
yeah, Crimes and Punishment. So that's why I wanted to mention as well, because the much like the first one, this is all kind of Lovecraftian Eldritch horror type stuff. The first one was a lot more like Crimes and Punishment. It's more about puzzles and the story and piecing things along the way. This one seems to be way more focused in horror. So. Which, if you're going to pick horror, Lovecraft seems to be that way to go.
Yeah, your go-to, really, isn't it?
Yeah, in both your monsters and the author. So,
yes.
Horror of a human being, but yeah.
Something slaves. Anyway,
Final Fantasy 14?
Yeah, that is 14.
I did it right. Final Fantasy 14 Online. That's going to be available on the Xbox Series X and S now, and there's going to be some kind of bundle available on Game Pass for picking up.
I think
up
you there. Get the starter pack free, I think so. Presumably that unlocks some goodies for you.
It was weird. It wasn't with Game Pass, but it was a Game Pass perk they were doing it as.
So you have to because it'll be like a subscription.
It won't be available in the Game Pass thing generally, but it's a perk that you can pick up.
Yeah, and it's for Game Pass Ultimate as well, not just regular Game Pass.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's March 21st. If you are waiting for Stalker 2, then good news. The original three Stalkers are available in a trilogy pack for Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 right now.
Well, you say that. Like, they said available today, yesterday, and it's still not, I don't know if it's not in the UK store, but it's not on Game Pass at the moment. I checked last night and today.
I don't know about Game Pass, but it's available on the store to purchase. I checked yesterday.
Ah, okay. Is it not a Game Pass game?
Oh,
misunderstood that. I didn't see that it wasn't Game Pass.
I do my homework.
It's a shame because I wanted to play that and I'm not willing to pay.
You're just going to have to use some money, Tim.
I don't like
Monster Jam Showdown looks kind of cool, but all these games are trash.
Yeah,
it's coming to all the platforms, including Switch, on 2024 sometime. Persona 3 Reload, which kind of, I'm pretty sure this game has escaped us all. I played it in preview very briefly.
Yeah,
a man called Rick's playing it a lot, and I think he's now fallen out of the repetitive nature of it. But there's an expansion pass that's coming out March the 12th, and the first DLC was announced called Episode Aegis. And
they're really stretching the definition of waves of DLC. It's like, have a velvet suit, that counts.
But also, they announced the third one first, and then
the other two, the first
and second bits that aren't as interesting.
Yeah, the first bit is awesome background music. The other one was have a velvet suit. Mm.
That's because space is wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yes, we have established this fact. It is fact. Yes.
Something the circle of time.
Yep.
I vaguely know the Doctor Who quote. I get it wrong every single time.
Get
it. Something I have to deal with. The first Berserker, Kazan.
Now, that looked interesting.
Yeah, all right. All right, we'll bite. We'll bite. Tim White.
Basically, it's one that I will possibly only try if it comes to Game Pass. They didn't really confirm whether that was going to be the case or not. But it looked like a Souls-like with an interesting art style. So, it's piqued my interest. I did like the look of it in terms of both gameplay and art style. It's got a kind of cel-shaded's the wrong kind of feel, but it's got a kind of almost an anime look with a kind of strong outline to it.
New Age fun with a vintage feel.
No.
But my life is an anime with a strong outline.
But yeah, like... As I said, I like the look of it. I will keep an eye out for it. It looked more like a kind of more modern anime cartoon style sort of thing, like the computer generated anime type thing. But I'm interested. I like the look of it.
I'm they haven't got a release date for this one yet, but it is coming to PC, the Xbox Series is, and PlayStation 5. I'd assume it's got a while to go, if judging by the frame rate of the,
I was going to say the frame rate was running. Yeah,
that's one of my only concerns.
That is the thing with, like, if it to a Souls like, you know, you really need the frame rate to be nice and high to give that fluid feeling of combat. And a couple of times I was like, ooh man, that looks a little bit choppy.
That's why all those games always look so dated, because they put the extra effort into the frame rate over the actual graphics and the world around you and stuff. So, yes. Also, we had all the silly names are at the end. Tales of Kenzira. Kenzira. Zhao.
That's I think it could be all right. This game is another Metroidvania, as far as I could work out, but with a little bit of a
ice powers.
Yeah, with a little bit more layering in of kind of additional RPG elements, I suppose, with leveling your powers up. It seems quite a cool game. Really nice art style, I thought.
Kind of unique with a very African influence as well, but in a good way. I kind of like the look of it. Look fun.
I was thinking that, because I remember I fell off of Prince of Persia super quick, but you carried on and completed it and really seemed to enjoy the experience, Dan. So
I would say it was all right. It was all right. When it finally got there, it was all right.
I think if they had revealed this and that Prince of Persia game hadn't come out, I probably would have gone, ooh. But because I've gone, I was.
What
more,
would you have gone?
Ooh. Ooh.
Very good.
I was more excited for Prince of Persia. And then when it came out, just dropped off it so quickly. I don't even know if I want to play this.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, you can, if you're on PC, you can. Can download the demo now. It's coming on, coming out on 23rd of April, I believe. So not long to go. So I'd imagine that probably plays nice with your massive dick. So if you did want to, check it out, check the demo
this
out. Maybe Mr.
is
Coleman.
On. Yeah, this is on everything modern platform, including the Switch, coming April 23rd. So just around the corner, by way of EA of all people. This does not sing EA to me when I see this game.
No.
Okay.
I thought they'd canned EA original stuff. Yeah. I thought they'd stop doing that.
Yarny.
They possibly will in the future, but.
Yeah, we were accidentally talking about Unravel last week. And that was the one I was trying. That was an EA original, I think. Unravel and Unravel 2 with Yarny.
I realized the game we were trying to talk about. I remember. Oh, is it? It Takes Two was the one we were trying
to remember? It Takes Two. That was the game we were trying to talk about. Frostpunk 2. I have no interest in Frostpunk at all.
I kind of like the look of this, I have to say. Like, this one did intrigue me. The
original
game...
Frostpunk review very well. Again, I don't know. I just find these kind of city building, save everyone from disaster things just a bit stressful. I don't know why. I think maybe it's because I've got my to-do list in real life feels far too long, and this just seems to add to a completely different to-do list. But it reviewed very well. I know a lot of people absolutely love the Frostpunk series of games, and this is the art style of it is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And you seem to be sort of digging your city out of the ice and, kind of going with that. It's got that kind of steampunk aesthetic to it as well, kind of thing.
Easy for you to say.
And
it wasn't.
But that looks good. I will keep an eye out for it. It's one of those things that it's a game that probably plays better on PC, and so that's the kind of my only real concern about it. But if it comes to Game Pass, I will definitely try it.
It is coming to Game Pass. It's on day and date on release is when it's coming.
Cool.
Try and stop me.
Yeah, this game has PC written all over it. If there were to play,
that's
it,
the problem.
It's actually got Frostpunk 2. It's actually got Frostpunk 2 written on it. I think you're fine.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Easy mistake to make.
Also, it's got 11-bit studios written all over it as well. PC, Xbox Series, and PlayStation 5 on the 25th of July. Yes, and the last one, Kanitsu game. Sorry, Kanitsugami, Path of the Goddess.
Yes.
What?
Now, this is one they announced last year on some sort of showcase. And I said at the time, I really like the art style, but I'd be keen to see what the gameplay is in this, where they filled in a little bit more detail of what's going on with the gameplay. And I kind of like the look of it. Even though it's got some like kind of tower defense elements to it, you're going through like the daytime where you're rescuing villagers, and then and you can assign them particular roles, like being an archer or a mage or just a kind of warrior type thing. And then at night, they help you fight waves of beasties that are attacking the village kind of thing. It looked like that was the kind of setup. But then you can position those villagers and have them do certain attacks in certain times. So it looked like there's a strategy element to it while there's being a kind of action like slash them up as well. So yeah, I really like the art style, and I think the gameplay looks like an interesting enough mix for me to be intrigued. Again, if it's coming to Game Pass, which I believe it is, I will most likely play this and see what it's like. So I think I'm on board for this one.
It does look it's nice to see some Capcom doing something a little different. Actually, have to say, I'm intrigued to see how this turns out. It's I kind of like the blend of tower, because tower defense to me often feels a bit too hands off. So it is quite cool that you can. It's this nice middle ground between the two.
Yeah, it's a nice blend of them. Yeah. genres.
I like.
It's like, it's the way more in-depth version of the Gears of War horde modes, where you run around, and you set all the traps and stuff, and then the round begins. Like, but instead of setting up cardboard cutouts of coal that speak and have traps around it, it's doing weird magics to weave enchanted ribbons and stuff. It's yeah, it's interesting.
And like that is likewise coming out Game Pass, I believe. Yeah, Xboxes, your Windows is, but also PS5s is.
Yeah, well. Some point this year, we just don't know when yet.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I wasn't too keen on the partner preview. I ended up skipping through quite a lot of it because I'd already pulled the trailers for the show, but then I sat to watch it and I went, yeah, I'm not interested in that, skip forward, not interested in that, skip forward. So it was only like two games I think I was really interested in.
I think it wasn't the world's most interesting thing, but I didn't think they were positioning it as being that. I thought there was some nice extra details on games we already knew about and a couple of nice little surprises of games that I'm interested in. So for me, like, yes, it certainly wasn't the best thing, but I thought it was okay. It was fine.
Okay. All right. A couple of last bits of news we'll jump to then. So first of all, because we've got to talk about it. So I don't know if you know about Yuzu. I know Tim probably doesn't
know
about Yuzu.
I like Yuzu. It's tasty.
I thought you could blow into there and make a funny
citrusy
noise. No.
That's a kazoo.
So
Tim.
Yuzu is it's an open source Switch emulation engine that is quite popular on the Steam Deck. And would you believe it? The creators now have to pay Nintendo $2.4 million.
I mean, I think that I'm just amazed that they rolled straight over. It's like, right, here's the check. Here's everything.
Yeah, the rumors behind that. Well, right. First of all, they won't be making a check. They will probably just fold the business because they probably won't pay anything of the $2.4 million. But apparently they agreed so quickly because otherwise Nintendo could have stung them with a discovery thing and it would have led to them being able to get access to more information, which meant they may have been able to sue the people behind it rather than the company, which would have been worse for them. So...
yeah, so originally they were going into... this whole thing was over Tears of the Kingdom. We spoke about this briefly last week. There was over 1 million downloads of the game before it even launched, and most of those were played through Yuzu. And if you've used Yuzu, then you know there's quite a big community behind it. It is quite a helpful tool if you're looking to play Switch games. But also there is a lot of... there is a big community behind kind of circumventing piracy methods and being able to play games brand new through the platform. There are other emulators to do it, but because this is a community that there is a Patreon behind that, they've been making, $30,000 a month on Patreon for updates, early access, and access to the Discord. And the Discord, you know, I paid the Patreon, you know, I've been using the early access to play stuff on. And
Coleman, part of the problem.
Come at me, Nintendo. Come at me.
No, please don't.
Don't encourage them. They're very litigious.
I'll make sure when I'm in court, I'll name drop bigredbarrel.com a couple of times.
Okay, thanks. Listen,
so I was speaking about on my podcast, BRB UK, when I was pirating video games.
I would just like to say for the record, I've actually never used Yuzu.
Yes, and Big Red Barrel does not condone piracy because you wouldn't steal a car, etc.
I use Yuzu, and I probably won't be anymore because it's been taken away from me.
Yes.
But I was paying to the Patreon because the early access features were quite handy, and it gave me access to the Discord, and I was using that to talk to people on
because
how
you're
better
a big,
to
dirty pirate.
How Mara. Better to
do you like your piracy?
How better to rather than sit there and tweak and work out settings myself, find someone who knew a much better way of running the games that I had ripped off of my own cartridges and were playing on my Steam Deck. So, yeah, it was a handy community, but now it's been taken away because they've had to go. They've had to get rid of Yuzu. They've had to get rid of Simu and the 3DS. thanks, Dan. The 3DS emulator as well. So there's no more of that anymore, unfortunately. But you can see why they've got a big old case for damages behind them.
Was it just the fact that in Nintendo's view it was enabling piracy, or was there actually anything they were directly infringing in the distribution itself? Because was there anything?
I think it's because the community, even though they were trying very strongly to stop it, the community around it were using it for piracy. They were discussing piracy. They were talking about tactics. Even though they weren't saying where to download the games on the Discord, they were talking about how to circumvent these kind of things. So that's probably where you're doing it. But because all that stuff is held behind a pay, and I've seen Discords being pulled off of Patreons before, because that you can set Patreon to have a tier where if you pay this much, you have access to a chat room on Discord. And if you go into a Discord and file like hate speech or something, for instance, then Patreon's then got a problem because they've been linked to this thing that they don't have control over. And this is one of those things, because they're talking about piracy, even though they're trying not to talk about piracy, it's still there in some form. Nintendo can not just link to damages, but they can link to profits being made on their side over their damages. You know, there's a big old issue here, and I can see why they immediately jump for the first offer. The last thing to talk about, and it's more of a public service announcement, really. If you have a Meta Quest, originally known as Oculus, if you have an Oculus account still and you haven't merged to the Meta account,
I have not.
It's going to get deleted.
Oh no!
So and all your stuff as well, Tim.
I don't know that I care.
That will delete your account. That will delete any games, DLC, achievements, and store credit that you have access to. Unless you have to March the 29th, you need to go to the Oculus and Meta store page things into your account, merge your account with Meta, which I think, do you still have to tie that in with a Facebook account or whatever?
I think
it was?
They made it so you don't have to do that anymore. I'm not 100% on that, but I think
that's good.
Have to sign over your firstborn to older Android boy.
Also, when Meta's servers went down this week, it actually made it so that you couldn't access your game or anything else through your quests, which was
I only knew about that because all the girls at work were complaining that Instagram had gone down. Do your work! Get off Instagram! All right.
I've been joined by a cat again.
All the news.
We can see. That is indeed the news. Yes. It just depresses me that Zuckerberg continues to attempt to own all of the things.
Depresses me that you call it Zuckerberg.
No, it's Meta, but it is Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
No, Zuckerberg.
You're the only person in the world that calls him Zuckerberg.
Nope, I'm not.
This is Linux all over again. You've always got to sound a bit posh with your stuff, haven't you?
Yeah. It's my thing. It's my thing. People will claim I no longer sound like Jeremy Clarkson.
You do sound a bit like Jeremy.
I do. People have said. Thankfully, my political views are completely different, so that's a good thing.
For not bringing you a sandwich on time.
Mm-hmm.
Some say he's the host of the. Was it? Who wants to be a millionaire in the world?
So we ought to wrap up, and you can go and buy the best BRB merch in the world by going to tpublic.com/store/BRB. Guess what you can buy over there, Coleman? Things with my face on it.
That's what I was going to suggest.
This face on one of those. That's right. It's what you want. Other products are available. My face.
But some with Dan's face on. tpublic.com/stores/BRB. That's where you want to go to get our merch and wear Dan's face.
Yeah, I need to request a discount code at some point.
Okay.
And just claim it.
Do you get discount codes?
I don't know. I just buy my face is what I want.
I was going to say, I bought my t-shirt full price. I want to reimburse it, Tim. Give me a cat.
I will buy you.
Wow, that escalated.
What else we got?
Tuesday's Tuesday, Tim. Talk to us about Tuesday.
Is indeed a Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington. We have an extra special surprise this week that I can announce exclusively right here because we're live, but I will be putting up more details on the top left-hand corner of Big Red Barrel and on meetup.com tomorrow. But It is our social deduction night, as it is every second Tuesday of the month. So I'll be running Games of Blood in the Clock Tower. But we have an extra special guest coming along, showing us a game called Kugo, which is a kind of set for making or playing a variety of and making your own dexterity games. It looks really good fun. It's coming to Kickstarter in May, but you can get an exclusive look at it at Loading Bar this coming Tuesday. So it could be a cool one to come along and have a play at. We're also going to be trying making our own game with the kit, as the makers of the game has charged us with that kind of challenge to come up with our own game with the kit. So we're going to be trying and doing that.
Oh, no, it sounds like Tim's going to start talking about The Apprentice anyway.
So we've got the very popular Blood in the Clock Tower, and we've got an exclusive game that you can't play anywhere else in the world at the moment. So it's a really good one to come along to. Should be a good fun night. As I said, you can check out more details on the top left-hand corner of Big Red Barrel, or you can join our meetup group with over 2,100 members. Search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com, or just come along to the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington on a Tuesday and join us for the fun evening that will be had.
Yes, all of those things.
Woo!
Woo! Woo!
Whoa!
Whoa! And excitement also, and felicitations are abound.
Extra tease, the week after is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, prize I've ever given away at Tabletop Tuesday. I will tell you more about that next week.
Win a date with Tim Hibbs. You heard it here first, baby.
No, it's a valuable prize.
Yeah, baby.
Valuable prize.
Depends if you're buying dinner or not and where we're going.
Well, yeah, what's the likelihood of that? What's the likelihood of Tim buying dinner in that situation?
The prize is worth £75, so it's probably worth more than dinner. So
could be going to the Ritz.
or just anywhere in London.
I'm not taking anyone to the Ritz, Colin. I'm not made of money.
Mate, to be fair, you haven't seen me go out at Nando's. I could quite easily get through £75.
That you view it as a challenge.
£75 at Nando's is a lot of Nando's. What are you going to chicken,
Colin.
I could eat a lot of hot... Mate, get me on that chicken wing roulette. I can go through that like mad.
Wow.
Right.
Yes, right.
If you've enjoyed this show, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. You're a very strange person, but we love you all the same. We would love for you to go to bigredbarrel.com and you can listen to other episodes of this show as well as listening to us on other podcasting platforms, whatever your favorite is. But... while you're there, you can find a link to our t-shirts, which I hit the wrong thing. You can find a link to our Discord, which will give you access to our Discord, funnily enough, where there are cool chat rooms available. You can participate in our game nights. You can talk about the show. You can get free PC games because I've just updated the codes in there yesterday.
Ooh.
And a bunch of them have already been claimed, but there's still a load more left for you to go get, including last year's WWE game, if you fancy.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Wouldn't recommend it on the Steam Deck, but if you have a PC powerful enough to play it, maybe go for that. Anyway, yes, you go over, say hi, you can ask us questions, we can answer them on the show, and there's, you know, you sometimes you might get first access to things, like where we've done the live stream this week. Yeah. And also, you can find us on social media. We have a Facebook, we have an X, we have a... what's the other one called? Threads.
Threads.
Sorry, I keep forgetting.
Never heard of it.
At Big Red Barrel. And we are available on YouTube. YouTube is Big Red Barrel TV. Go over there, like the video, comment on the video, subscribe to the channel, ring
like,
that
comment, subscribe.
Bell icon thing, and it will tell you when our new episodes go out. We've had an offer for Tim's big win a date with Tim competition. Kev would like you to take him to Five Guys, please.
Again,
I can price of them burgers you could get through £75 and all.
I'll do that for Kev.
I know Kev, and there's a man who could eat £75 worth of processed meat right there. He'd do that, mate, without breaking a sweat at the time.
I could do that, and they serve beer there.
Speaking of Kev, we should be recording a new episode of VRB this week as well. So
I'm so sorry, Kev.
I will be talking about Rainbow Reactor Fusion. I also have a very cool game to talk about next week that I've been playing for a week or so now because it's a whole collection of games, and we'll come to that next week on this week's show. So,
oh God, am I going to have to schedule slipping into a coma while you go through all that?
Yes, I'm talking about like 40-something games, so good luck.
Not if I don't go into a coma first, Dan. I'm going to swallow my tongue right now.
Wow. Yowza.
What's it going to do? Oh, yeah, reviews. Leave reviews where you can. That'd be great. Thanks. Cheers, guys.
Well, that is that. We probably ought to start thinking about trundling on out of here. All that's really left for us to do is to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've just remembered that Red 13 rides a Chocobo in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and it's amazing. He's a little hunched over.
I've no
Red 13, the big cat thing.
The cat thing. He was called something very different when I played Final Fantasy 13 because I renamed everyone swear words, and I literally can't say what I said that because we'll have to bleep it out a lot.
He was called Harry
How many
Bulls.
Letters?
Harry huh? Bulls.
Four letters and then the word face. Don't know why it was face, but yeah.
Peanut.
Anus face.
No.
No? Get hyped for next week, guys.
Woo!
WWE 2K24 time, baby!
Oh, that's my me talking God. About 40 games and a lot
Jesus.
Of menus, Dan.
It's time to finish the story!
Oh, God.
Whoa!
Oh, God, next week's going to be painful if you me. Right, we're going. Thank you so much. Thank you, Coleman, for putting just my face on this thing.
I felt
we're
going to
go
it.
Now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.